Hey everyone, welcome to another discussion on the state of the church videos. We are talking about the next generation today, and I'm joined by Lynn and Wendy and Brandy, and I'm Jake, and we're just going to talk through some of this stuff. All of us have been involved or currently involved with leading the next generation in one form or another. I think we're all pretty passionate about the next generation. What do you love most about the students that you interact with, the students that you lead?
Well, I think it. I have loved the next generation since I was a young mom. Obviously, that age group has grown, so now it's anything below 60, which is a lot of people. But college, high school, middle school stretches me, but college, high school are some of the kids that I just love and want to pour into. And so I'm now leading with Sarah Christian and Andrea Knepper, a group of 9th and 10th graders at Extreme. And I was very convicted as I was praying from my cabin for the next generation, not doing anything. And at one point, I became very convicted and said, I can't say that I love and care about what happens to the next generation if I'm not willing to step in. So I told Wendy she had to do it too. And honestly, God had already been speaking to her about it too. But I love, my concern was, you know, I'm older. They're young kids. They're not going to connect with me. But really, like with all of us, we just want to be loved and seen and heard. And so it's, I have loved, the girls are goofy and serious and they go through, they're going through a lot. It's hard to be a high schooler. It's hard to be a middle school, college. All the pressures are unbelievable, but to just be able to create a safe space for them and just enjoy them. I love them. I truly enjoy them. And I started doing it because I felt convicted, and now I do it because I just love the girls.
Yeah. It is. It's funny. I think when I was middle school, high school, the people we had pouring into us, I think we kind of wanted them to be more like us. Like we wanted them to fit in, be cool, whatever. And now it feels like this younger generation just wants people to be authentic. Like if you're authentically you and not ashamed of that, and you know who you are and you're confident in that, that's what they're attracted to. Yeah. So age isn't really an important factor to them, which is
but
really
we're
cool.
We're also cool. So
yeah, of course. Yeah. Obviously you're cool also. Who else? What do you love about the next generation?
Oh, I love the fact that they can be just as passionate about a pink gel pen as they are about the Lord. It's just, and I have 8th grade girls, so it's all over the gamut. Lynn is absolutely right. Like, I think you were pleading at the front of the church that you needed help, and I made eye contact with her, which was a huge mistake. So I did. I guaranteed you 1 year of my time.
Yep.
And I've fallen in love with the girls. So now I'm here with them until they're seniors. And we hang out together. I mean, I just love them. And they come to the house and we do things and go to events together.
They play hide and seek in Wendy's house.
Yes. But I've fallen in love with them. So obviously I'm committed beyond a year. But in a lot of ways, I feel like God's given me like a second chance, because when I was teaching my kids, I didn't know what I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand truly the love of God and how much He loves me and how much He loves them and just wants to be in relationship. And I just feel like God has given me that second chance with kids to really step into their lives. And I've told Lynn this often. Some Wednesday nights I leave and I stand in the parking lot and think, God, what impact am I making on these girls? Because some Wednesday nights don't go quite as well as other Wednesday nights. But all that to say, God just really spoke to me and He says, you show up. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've asked you to do. I've asked you to show up. And I will tell you, this next generation, they feel like our generation has not shown up for them. Yeah. They really feel that deeply, and it's hurtful. And so I'm just there, and I show up, and I love them, and I'm authentic with them. Yeah. And boy, kids know that.
Yeah.
They get that.
Yeah, that consistency piece is huge. Just students knowing you are going to be there regardless, even if you don't have all the right answers, which we never do, even if you're a little bit awkward, which you guys definitely aren't.
Oh, no.
They care that we show up, so that's a big piece of it.
Well, and, you know, not just awkward, but let's face it, old. You know, and so I always tell them, by the time they're seniors, they're probably going to be pushing me in my wheelchair up over harvest fields, but they're very willing to do that.
There you go.
So that's great.
There you go.
I love how you guys are talking about the authentic piece, because that's one of the resounding things even still with college students. Yep. So even after they leave high school, they're still looking for that authenticity. And that's one of the things that I love most about my, like, the college students, is just being able to, like, they're at that space where they're ready to be vulnerable and authentic and sit with you as you give that to them too. And I just think back over the last 5 years and think of, we call it couch time, all the couch time that we've had at my house, just with students who just needed that space to be real for a little bit. And something that I think is cool that God has gifted for me in this time is that I'm still, there isn't an age gap too far between us. I mean, I am 30 now, so it's getting there. But they, I've been close enough in age to them where it's like I could be authentic in a way that they're like, I'm about to head into that, and I just watched her go through that kind of thing. And so being authentic with them helped give them hope for what's after college, because that's even another space that I love with the college students, is their fervor for what's next. And unfortunately, that comes with a lot of anxiety of, I have to make a decision within, you know, my freshman year or the next 4 years. But just watching them have that fervor but still have the hope of what's next, and seeing that it's possible. And I love seeing that in their eyes.
A lot of I feel like what we're talking about is that idea of planting seeds. I think a lot of time when you work with the next generation, you don't necessarily see the harvest when you're there, when you're working with them. One of the stories that Dan talked about in the video was the story of the group in Afghanistan, and they were doing the choir, the show, whatever. One of the students went off script, and then they were brought and shown different, like, missionaries, people who had been praying for years for the people in Afghanistan. And that's all about planting seeds. That's all about doing the work, and then hopefully seeing someone, or maybe not seeing someone, but knowing that at some point God's going to use that. And he talked a little bit about, like, as we're working with the next generation, a really important piece of this is giving them responsibility, giving them them leadership, giving them roles, and showing that they are the church now, not the, hey, come and just sit in and listen. So how do you think, as a church, as you guys personally, how do you think you're doing with that? What do you think it looks like to do that more? What do you see as the importance of that even?
I love one of the ways that you guys do that at XYM is you always have a student leadership team. And just watching the changes in those students as they step more and more into leading. So I think that's a great way to do it. I think that for me, I think our generation, the older generation, a lot of talk is, you know, how this next generation, we're losing them. They're walking away from the church. And I feel like that doesn't happen when there's relationships.
Yeah.
When it's just the church, it's so easy to walk away. But when there's relationships, and so this isn't completely answering your question, but I feel like there's such an important, and Wendy touched on a little bit, importance of older, 40, 50s, 30s, you're doing it with college, but someone who's already been there, looking back and saying, I have something to offer, and it might just be a cup of coffee and a listening ear, but that builds into the next generation so that they stay connected to, whether it's a church or Christ or relationships. So for me, that's the biggest place that I feel like I can pour into people is being a safe place, a listening ear, and loving them, them well.
I mean, those are seeds that are being planted, right? I think that's something that a lot of people look at and say, you know, getting a cup of coffee with a high schooler isn't going to make an impact. But that's a small seed that can be used in meaningful ways. So I think it's I think that piece is important, like simple relational experiences with the next generation. Yeah.
And I like earlier when you were saying when you felt God tugging on your heart to be a XYM leader and you invited somebody into it, and that was already God tugging on her heart. And it just makes me think of the invite piece, inviting students to be on a leadership team, inviting students to take something on. And it makes me think of our night watch days when we would specifically ask students to take an hour, you know, night watch quickly as a, it was a 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. prayer time once a month on campus. And every hour we would have somebody different who would be leading worship and who would be leading the prayer time and ask them to actually prep for that. And it was so fun getting to sit and be led by one of the students in that prayer time, hearing what's on their heart. And it gives them, again, that safe space to be them and to be in ministry and see that play out. And what's even cool about that is thinking there was a group of three folks in the generation older than I that had been praying for 20 years for students to take up the torch of praying and everything. And so we even got to see this, you know, the effects of what they were putting into it and see people step up. And even this past week, it's funny, one of our students had texted me a screenshot of a Facebook post I made about 4 years ago when she was a freshman and had started a time of worship and prayer in the basement of her dorm room. And I had said, what does revival look like? Freshman students starting their own prayer and worship time in their dorm. And just thinking back to seeing how that affected her enough to like say something now, but you know, in giving her leadership, she was leading her peers.
Yeah,
I love that.
And I feel too, investing in the next generation is not negotiable scripturally. You know, this is our third time going through the Bible in a year, and I've just been so struck this year in the Old Testament. It's, you know, wear it everywhere. Tell the next generation. Tell the next generation. How you do it is negotiable, although we would love to have you all join.
Yes, we would.
But it's going to look different for each of us, for sure.
Yeah.
But it's not negotiable. I am commanded to invest in the next generation. And so for me, what it looks like is it's really cute. My girls have started a group text, and they've been over to the house, and they know where my praying chair is, and that was a huge deal to them to know that someone's sitting and praying for them every day. And so now they are always on the group chat saying, could you pray for me in this? Could you pray for me in that? So they're really joining in to this whole idea of us just being couched in prayer. It's been cool to see.
And my mom touched on it a little bit, but the student leadership team that we do, that's such a big piece to me of giving ownership away to other people. And it doesn't always go well. We've had, I mean, there's an infamous talent show that I had a student leadership team put on during a lock-in once, and it was a disaster because they decided to do it like 3 a.m. It was like 3 a.m. during the lock-in. Yeah, during a lock-in, 3 a.m. You'll be there, Wendy.
That's not in our contract.
That's not in the contract.
You have no contract. but no, it didn't work out well, but they learned from it, and that didn't stop them from trying something new later on. And so there's small things that we do with the student leadership team, like running tech and helping with worship and doing the games. And every once in a while, they'll jump in with a middle school small group and help to lead a middle school small group. But showing them, like, one of the big pieces for me is showing them that you're going to fail, and it's okay to fail. Learn from it and keep pushing on. And it's crazy to see. You'll have students who will have little to do with XYM other than attending, who then join the student leadership team. And when it's just called out in them, like, hey, I see you as a leader, that totally changes how they look at themselves, how they look at the ministry, how they participate in the ministry. And you see them taking on responsibilities that you don't even necessarily ask them to take on just because you are calling something out in them, just because you see something in them.
And they feel ownership to it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a really big piece. If I tell the student leadership team, hey, I want you to put this thing on, but do it exactly how I want you to do it, they're not actually leading it. And so that's where, as leaders, we have to give up the need to do things exactly how we want, because if we want younger generations to step in, they're going to do it differently and oftentimes better. So that's a really important piece. Yeah.
I think, too, the last few weeks, and I know you've done it on and off other years, but there's been students leading worship after the talk at XYM, and I love that. It you know, reminds me of what Dan has talked about, Asbury, where it's not polished worship, but it's worshipful, and I just sit back, and I, every time they're worshiping, I'm just saying, Lord, send revival to this group.
Which is amazing to me, because frankly, I don't think that my generation has done a great job at teaching the next generation, and I think that if I would say that I failed anywhere, that's where it was, and I never really understood the importance of it. So it's really magnificent to watch the enthusiasm and the love that these kids have when maybe in a lot of ways they haven't been taught well.
Yeah, and they just have so many good ideas. I mean, I'm 29, almost 30, and they think completely differently than I do. Like, totally different ideas, different, hey, I think this is important, we need to do this. And I don't necessarily see it. And so it's really important to have those, the younger generation telling you how to do things, because we often don't know how to
sometimes
do things.
Sometimes they are wrong, though.
Yeah, sometimes, absolutely. So are we, though. So are we.
We are.
But yes, so it's, it's important that we give them leadership. It's important that we plant those seeds, that we pour into them, that we do the work to show them how important they are.
I remember one quick thing, Dad, when he did that study on what makes great leaders, without fail, every one of them said it was they had someone in their life who believed in them.
And
I think that's even part of you with college kids. When I meet with college kids, Leadership Advanced, XYM, someone, we believe in them. And that makes a difference.
I think it's amazing, too, and so important that when we say it's okay for you to take this and lead with it and fail or stumble or whatever, but I'm not leaving you in that. Because I think that they've had that where it's like, well, you failed. That's awful. Yeah. See you later, you know. But to stand by them and say, hey, why don't you take another whack at it? Hey, I still see that in you. Just because this went this way doesn't mean, you know, there's not more. And I think that's something that they really need to hear.
Yeah, walking alongside them, making sure they're learning from anywhere that they do fail, and celebrating the times that they win. Like, I know sometimes it's hard when someone way younger than you does something significantly better than you do it, but you have to be able to call that out and celebrate that, and actually be excited about that when someone comes up with something better than you did. Like, that's
hard,
a huge win.
I'm always right, so
humility, Brandy. It's all humility.
So one question before we kind of close. One last question: if you were going to try and convince someone to lead the next generation, to pour into the next generation, what kind of things would you say? What would you remind them of? How would you convince them of the importance of what we're talking about?
I would say, for me, when you look at just the next generation, that feels overwhelming, like, what could I do? But invest in one.
Yeah.
Whether it's XYM and it's more than one, a group, or one, finding a college student, having them over for dinner, high school student, whatever, whoever it is, finding someone from that next generation, and be curious about them and just invite them to conversation and be good listeners. But I think, don't make it huge. Just say, I'm going to do something with one.
Yeah.
And you will get so much more back. You will get so much more back. I feel extremely blessed. I laugh so much with them because they are hilarious. I feel younger, except when I try to get up off the floor on Wednesday night. That's always a little bit of a challenge
we'll get
for me.
Next week.
Or they all look at a TikTok and they're dying laughing. I'm like, I don't even know what that means.
In fact, Jake just brought me a piece of paper they were supposed to write on, and someone drew a picture of me or something. Yeah. Wonder Wendy.
Yes.
Wonder Wendy.
Superhero. It was the first time I've ever been a superhero. But all that to say, I've gained so much from them, and I just find myself thinking about them all day long and wondering how they're doing and praying for them. It's been a blessing.
When thinking about asking somebody to invest in the next generation, I kind of think along the same lines of like invest in one. But even specifically with college students, so many of them just want home while they're at college. And so to invite them over for dinner, like home cooked meal, that's like home cooked meal or free food. Yeah. That's like gold for the college students. And just to feel like they've got a place to belong, especially on Penn State main campus. It's huge. Yes. I remember going from Bald Eagle to Penn State main campus and was so overwhelmed. And it's just like, that one time, if somebody would have invited me over for dinner, that would have made a difference. And and we've heard that from students. We've heard for them to have a space to go to, like, made all of the difference and gave that community. So if you're having dinner anyway, invite somebody to add a plate.
There you go.
It's pretty easy. So,
And I just feel like as our generation is really be listening for the voice of God in this, really listen, because I would never have imagined in a million years that I would be in this place. I really didn't. But I really, really heard God saying to me, I always ask, you know, what do you have for me this year? And he kept saying, pour it out, pour it out, pour it out. I want you poured out. And I didn't know what that meant at the time. Yeah. But circumstances in life just led me to this place. So really, as our generation, really be listening for that voice of God on where he wants you to slide into.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt over the last couple weeks, especially a shift of putting more focus and responsibility on us, on the older generation. I think my prayers have often been, God, would you love the next generation? Would you bring the next generation to you? And I've just heard him like kind of say, I'm already doing that. What are you doing? Which sucks. so that's, I just feel like we talked about, it's non-negotiable. Like we have to reach out to the next generation. We have to love the next generation. They're the church now, and we have the opportunity now to pour into them and make them know Jesus more, love Jesus more. And so I guess to end, the encouragement and the challenge I would give to everyone is find that one thing you can do. Find the one student or person in the next generation that you can reach out to, that you can love on. Find somewhere to serve, whether it's with Calvary Kids or XYM or college ministries. There's endless amounts of places that you can dive in, but do something. Ask that God would put something on your heart and find a way to love the next generation.